Okay, good morning. We continue with our Nachayomi series. I hope that everyone is doing well. We're up to Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed, the 30th Perek. We have one Perek remaining, and then we finish Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We'll start Sefer Shmuel Beis. And tomorrow's Perek Shaul actually dies in the battle. But before we get to the battle, we have to remind ourselves what's happening, that David was about to go out to battle with the Plishtim. He was going to be on the Plishtim team going against the Jewish people, which is ludicrous. It's crazy. But what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously orchestrates it in a way where the Plishtim generals, they all say to Achish, "What in the world were you thinking? David is not coming out to battle with us. No possible explanation for why he should be coming. Send him home right now." And Achish says, "I'm so sorry, David, but you got to go back to your city, the one that you were staying in. Go back to Ziklag." Comes our Perek. What happens? David goes back to Ziklag with his men. They go to the land of Ziklag and they see that it was entirely burnt down. And unfortunately, the woman and the children were taken captive. What a sad story. And unfortunately, we see this in Yonah Dioma. What happens? And David and his men were shocked, the Arshkunavim points out, that their houses were burned down, that their wives were taken captive by Amalek. And the Radak points out, this is clearly major siyata d'shmaya, that Hashem was orchestrating this entire story, because usually we know that captives are either murdered or tortured, and we know that to be today. It's unfortunately so true. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping the Davids on the woman and the children, then nothing even happened to them. When at the end of the story, we'll see that they were all alive, nobody was harmed, which is such an amazing miracle. And what happens next is all the people kind of start betraying David a little bit. David had this whole following that came with him, these 400, 600 men, and they're kind of like, "David, why did we all do this?" Like, they all start crying, they're so upset, they're so sad, their wife, their children were taken captive, and their land was destroyed, and they kind of like want to start throwing stones at David. They're so upset. And what is David? Vatetzer lo David. Oh, David is obviously very, very distressed from hearing this and seeing that they're ready to stone him. And what does David do? Vaitchazik David b'Hashem elav. David drew his strength from Hashem, his God. David decides, "You know what? This is crazy. I have no idea why this just happened. And everyone's really upset at me. And this is a very scary moment." But David, in general, as a leader, what does he do in a moment of crisis? He turns to the Rabbonu Shalom. By Tazik, David, by Hashem, I love. Maybe this is actually a big difference between him and Shaul. Shaul always cared what the Am thought, what the people thought. Here, David realizes this is such a sad situation, but Vaitchazik David b'Hashem elav. David turns to Hashem in a moment of crisis. What tremendous chizik that we can derive from this. And then what happens? Vayomer David el Evyatar HaKohen ben Achimelech HaGishana Li HaEfod. In Pasuk Zion, David says, "Evyatar, please go get me the Ephod. Go get me the Urim B'Tumim so I can know if I should be pursuing them or if I will overtake them." So a person can be thinking to themselves, "I thought we're not allowed to ask two questions to the Urim B'Tumim at once." So that's actually a great question. So the Gemara in Yoma points out, and Gemara in Yuma points out, that 73b, that in an urgent situation, you're allowed to ask two questions at once to the Urim V'Tumim. So what happens next is that David takes these 600 men, and they set out to go attack the people that destroy their city, the Amalekim. And what happens? They get to Nachal Besor, the brook of Besor, and 200 of the men want to stay behind. They're very tired, or maybe they wanted to guard the possessions, but they seem to be very tired, so therefore they're staying there. And in Pasuk Yud Gimel, on their way to go try and find the Amalekim, David and the 400 men, not the 600 men, see an Egyptian man who looks beyond hungry. He looks super hungry, and they ask him who he is. So they first give him food, they give him food to eat and water to drink, and he's starting to get back his energy, and he tells them that, "I was the slave of an Amaleki man who my master left me behind. Because I became ill, 3 days ago, they kind of betrayed me. They don't need me anymore. And since I had no purpose, I was getting ill, I was getting sick, they don't just want to take care of me. They're evil. It's barbaric what they're trying to do. They're just leaving me to die out in the field because I'm not really so valuable anymore. So I've been here for the last 3 days, and you guys just saved me. So thank you so much." And I just, once I'm on the theme of 3 days, the first pasuk in this parak tells us it was 3 days that it took them to get back to the land of Ziklag. Why did it take 3 days? So the Mefarshim actually point out, it just shows you how much land the Plishtim were conquering during the times of Shaul. The fact that it took 3 days to get from where they were back to Ziklag shows that's a lot of territory that the Plishtim have. So we said 3 days that this man was not getting food for. Now he's nourished, and he kind of tells, David says, "Hey, where are the Malekim? What happened?" He's like, "Yes, they attacked, they burnt down the city, I was with them, they betrayed me, now they left me over here. I'll make you a deal. You don't do anything to me, I will tell you exactly where they are." And what happens next, he tells them their location, and when he goes up to them, they see the Amaleki camp. They were partying with all the spoils that they took from the Plishtim, the Yehudi, for the Ziklag. They're partying with all their spoils. Pasuk Yud Zayin, David goes with his men. They attack the enemy. They smote them all day, and they killed everyone except for 400 youth Amalekis that were able to escape on their camels that night. So the Mefarshim actually point out, Rashi in particular, why the number 400? So back in the day in Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov was being approached, Esav was approaching Yaakov, Esav had, and that's where Amalek and Haman come from, Esav had 400 men with him. And Rashi points out, each step that Esav was taking, getting closer to Yaakov, all these 400 men slowly started trickling out, disappearing from Esav, because they didn't want to be involved in this. And b'schus that merit, they were actually able to be saved. But just important to note, the fact that there was 400 youth that were saved, and there's only 400 men that were part of David's team, shows you how many pushed him there must have been. There must have been thousands and thousands of people. And in Pasuk Yotes, when David gets back the hostages, the Baruch Hashem, as we mentioned from the Radak, that this was a miracle, that everyone was able to be saved. They weren't even tortured. Nothing happened to them. And all the people who were held captive were freed, and no one was harmed. And they get all the spoils. David gets all the spoils and returns it to its rightful owners. And when he got back to the brook, to Nachal Besar, where the 200 exhausted people were, and he was ready to give them their spoils, in Pasuk Chaf Beis, what happens? Ayan ko ish ra ubeliayo mehanoshim. All the mean-spirited people kind of said to David, why in the world are you going to give them their spoils? Give them back their family, of course. Give them back their wives and their children. Don't give them the spoils. They didn't come out to battle with us. Why should we give it to them? And David says something pure gold of what he says. Vayomer David, lo sa'asu kenachi. No, it's not going to be the case, my brother. Eis asher nasan Hashem lanu vayishmoro sanu vaytinis hakadur haba alinu biyadinu. Don't think that this was us who defeated defeated Amalek. This is clearly from Hashem. Hashem was the one who orchestrated this battle. The fact that we were able just to go in, get our wives back, nothing happened to them. The fact that we were able to get our children, everyone was safe, and we were able to get our possessions back. This is clearly Hashem orchestrating it. So they're going to get back exactly what they deserve, and they can get back their spoils. It's not going to be a problem. And I find that to be such a chiddush. David stays strong in what he believes in. He says, hey, my brother, that's not the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly the one who's orchestrating this. Don't forget that. And in Pasuk Chaf, hey, this actually became the halacha, that to this day, that when you go to battle and stuff like this, everyone splits the spoils. If there were certain things that belong to you, you get them back. We don't really calculate who was in the battle, which people actually went. And David sends all the towns and cities that he stayed in, all the appropriate things that they deserve. And the Radak, I'm reading from the Arshko Neviim, during the long flight from Shaul, David and his men had benefited from the friendship and hospitality of many towns. Now he showed his appreciation by sharing his spoils with them, the Radak points out. Again, David setting an example of unselfishness and gratitude. Just like when it comes to Avram Avinu, the places that you stay, you have a karas hatov for where you stayed, and that's why you were able to be successful. And just David in general, this parak, David not being afraid, trusting in Hashem in a moment of crisis, he turns to Hashem, turns to the Urim V'Tumim. And we also see from here just that general theme that when does Amalek attack? A time when we're weak, when we're tired, when we come back from this battle, or when all the Plishtim and us are going out to battle, when they decide to come. Have a great day in Kol Tov.